Today I have a super amazing episode for you guys that I literally cannot wait for you to hear. I had the absolute pleasure of talking to Stacey, who is from the Healthy Mind Academy, and we were talking all about burnout, and this is something that I know every student faces at one point or another. And we talked about actually what burnout is, how you can actually get past it, and some ways that you can actually look after yourself to avoid this in the future. I felt burnt out a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about it on the episode, about how social media impacts our burnout, how actually the people that you see achieving all of these things do have breaks as well. I talked a lot about how I used to burn out because I was comparing myself to people on the internet and then found out later that actually that was not real. So if you're someone that is struggling with burnout, you're going to absolutely love this episode. And if not, keep it in mind because you may need this in the future, and I just cannot wait for you to listen to it. So let's get cracking. Welcome to the Stylish Study Show. I'm your host, Ella Harmony, the founder of Stylish Study. This is the podcast for the students who want to achieve their dream grades, have a clear guide to success, and level up to live their best life. I myself went from being miserable with failing grades to reaching my full potential and getting A stars. Today, I'm here to share with you everything I learned along the way, so let's dive straight into this episode. So, hello everyone. On today's episode, we have a very exciting and special guest. We have Stacey on the show, and I'm going to let her introduce herself, but we are going to be talking all about burnout today, which is something that students face all the time, and it can be quite discouraging and a real big block in the way of our success. But hopefully by the end of today you'll be feeling a lot more confident and be able to get over your burnout. So hello Stacey, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me, I'm excited to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of what you do, and yeah, we'd love to get to know you a bit more.
Yeah, cool. So I am Stacey, I'm an NLP practitioner and a coach, and so NLP is neuro-linguistic programming, and it basically brings psychology and neuroscience together, and it's really focused on how we do the things that we do, how we communicate with ourselves and with others, and also our ability to discover the programs that we run. So when we have those limiting beliefs that we just can't get over, they're all based in programs which we set ourselves when we were a lot younger. So NLP really helps you to understand what programs you're running and overcome them, reset them, and change them going forward. I'm also the founder of the Healthy Mind Academy. The Healthy Mind Academy is a membership for ambitious and determined women who, you know, just never feel like they're good enough, always have those doubts, you know, I'm not smart enough, I'm not clever enough, I'm not as pretty as the next person. And it's really about helping them to learn to shift their negative self-limiting mindsets so that they can be more confident, they can reclaim their sense of self-worth and self-esteem and achieve the success that they desire.
Amazing. I absolutely love what you do. And I really feel like this is so important for students. Oftentimes we talk about, okay, make your flashcards and make your mind maps. And that's definitely all important, learning how to do that. But we really want to do a more kind of, I guess, holistic approach to this and really a personal growth, because it's something that often gets missed out, and it's something that I've had to learn whilst building Stylish Study. I've read numerous books on self-growth and self-development, but it was never something that I realized was a thing when I was younger. And if we can kind of help younger people to look after their minds, remove these blocks and stop the burnout, then we can ultimately be better humans, I think. And yeah, it's just so exciting to have you on today, and I cannot wait to chat. You talked a little bit about kind of comparison and self-esteem, and for me personally, I feel like that was quite a contributor to my burnout. If I feel like I am not good enough, or I am not as good as the person next to me in terms of grades, I often felt like I couldn't do anything. I kind of felt like paralyzed with this sort of comparison. I'd love to know your kind of professional opinion on that and how we can get over that to release that block and start to have more success.
Yeah, definitely. And as you say, it is a really common thing that people experience. And the kind of issue with it is that as we grow up between the ages of 0 and 7, that's like our imprint period, like we're sponges and we're taking everything in. But what's also happening is that we're also aware of the things that are happening around us. So things that our parents do, or things that influential people in our lives maybe say, or, you know, for example, some people who maybe have the issues about, you know, having to work really hard all of the time. Now that could be because they saw their parents going to work constantly and they never got any free time with their parents. It could be something as small and when you look back seem insignificant, but actually that creates connections within our brain. And what we do is we then make a connection that working equals hard work, and therefore we are constantly comparing ourselves to this belief and this value that we hold, that we are a lot of the time not even aware exists. And as you say, it's only those times when we start thinking, I'm not as good as that person, or they're better than me, that actually we become aware that there's a problem. And even then, you probably wouldn't have even connected the fact that this was a belief that you held, that you maybe weren't good enough, or that you had to work really hard to get anywhere in life. So the key thing really, and one of the things that I teach within the Healthy Mind Academy, is all about becoming aware of your thinking. Because what we think creates our subjective reality, essentially. And our feelings are all connected to the thinking that we're doing. So if we can start to become more consciously aware of what's going on in our thinking and in our mind, we can then take the steps to really start unraveling what's happening for us, really start to question, well, where's the truth in that? You know, what is it that I want to believe? Because until we recognize it and we notice it ourselves, we can't do anything about it, and we just continue to run the programs. So one of the main key things that I really teach is about becoming more consciously aware of what we're thinking, so that we can deal with all of those feelings, and we can deal with everything else around it. And actually, you know, burnout and self-esteem, that's really got a lot to do with that self-talk. So once you can start to really notice the thinking that you're doing, you can really start to change everything. It's really transformative.
I love that. And I think that, like I've kind of touched on before, that when we start with our mind, that's the way that we unlock everything else in our life. And it's not something that's often talked enough about. And I personally myself, slightly off topic, but I went through a lot of anxiety and I had to get a lot of therapy. And that was where I really became very aware of my thoughts and kind of mindfulness and trying to combat those thoughts through CBT and things like that. But I don't think without that experience, I would have been as self-aware of my thoughts. So if someone right now is listening and they're thinking, okay, how do I even become aware of what I'm thinking? What is one step that they can take to actually start to become aware?
Yeah, absolutely. So the key thing is about the thing that we notice is our feelings. So that's often the first time that we realize there might be a problem. And often what we do is we just dismiss the feeling as whatever feeling it might be. And we may actually then, you know, use something else to subdue the feeling. So sometimes we use food, or we may use alcohol, or we may use exercise, whatever it may be. But the key really is about when you get that feeling and you notice the feeling, it's about stopping and saying, okay, what is going on here? What is it that this feeling is creating? You know, what am I thinking? And so when you can start to really spend some time and quiet time, or even journaling is a great one to really connect with your subconscious, because this is where it's all at. It's all at the subconscious level. So really to ask yourself, what is it that I am thinking that is causing the feelings? And it takes a bit of practice, but once you start to do it, it becomes just something that's just second nature. You don't then need to think about it. And you know, you said about the experiences that you'd have with anxiety, and I too, you know, had struggled with depression and anxiety. And actually, I really didn't realize how crucial looking after my mind health was. You know, we join the gym and we go to the gym and, you know, sometimes we might go, sometimes we don't, but we're quite happy to put ourselves, you know, out there and pay for a membership or whatever it may be. But actually we don't do anything for our mind, and our mind often gets forgotten, but actually it's our mind that continues to go. Our mind is, you know, the last thing that we ever think about, and it's the last thing to kind of break on us, if you like, in that sense. So it's super important that actually we start focusing more on our mind health, and you can start to do that by just becoming more aware of the thinking. If you do that exercise, notice the thought, the feeling, and then become aware of what it is that you're thinking, it will just start to become more natural that you'll go, oh yeah, I'm thinking this, actually I need to do this to change that, or this is the course of action, or I need to take some time out.
Amazing. Definitely, I totally agree with that, and becoming aware of our thoughts, I definitely think, is always the first step to personal growth and personal development, which is something so important to do as just a human, but can be absolutely beneficial if you start doing it as a student for your grades and also just for the future. So I wanted to kind of touch on burnout, because I know that this is such it is a mental thing. I mean, it can sometimes be physical, you can have physical symptoms, but it is something that really just generates and starts in your mind. So what would you say is kind of your definition of burnout?
So the definition of burnout is really, it's basically the reaction to prolonged and chronic stress. And it's the combination of your mental, physical and emotional health, basically. So it's exhaustion in all of those three areas. And what often happens is, you know, in terms of the kind of mental exhaustion, it's when we just can no longer think straight. You know, our ability to function as we normally would becomes impaired. And the physical, it's that, you know, that just not being able to do the things that you used to be able to do. You may find that actually you're much more tired than you usually are, or maybe that you can't sleep as you usually did. And then the emotional, and as you say, this is probably, you know, the one where you may notice it more, or actually it has a bigger impact. Because in regard to the emotional element, you know, if we don't do something about burnout and we ignore it, then it can actually lead to more complicated mental health conditions like depression, like anxiety, and, you know, even more serious elements in terms of that. So it is a combination of the mental, physical and emotional exhaustion.
So I'm just going to pull this up on my phone really quickly, because the other day I felt really burnt out. I was literally staring at my laptop, not being able to think. And I shared this quote on my story, and I feel like I'm just quickly flipping through my phone right now, trying to find it. But it just really, for me, summed up exactly how I was feeling. And I just feel like it would be great to talk about it. So it says, sometimes the most productive thing you can do is take a break. Instead of pushing through, pull back and get some perspective. Do a quick reset. It's almost always worth doing and will save you time you would have spent banging your head against the problem. And that is exactly how I felt when I noticed I was burnt out. And my main symptom is literally going to my laptop and being like brain dead, like I can't write anything, I have no ideas, my creativity is like down, my mood overall is really down, I was very emotional. Normally day to day I am all about kind of manifestation and living your most positive life because of my anxiety and because of self-growth. But when I am burnt out, it's like there's a highlighter in my mind that just highlights all those negative things, the tiny things that are going wrong within kind of work and within my personal life. And everything is just so amplified. And I feel like we can talk about burnout from that kind of perspective of not being able to do your work. But it is so much deeper in your mind, because it highlights those negative things, and it can really, really just impact your mental health, and like you said, can spiral into more anxiety and like depression.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And our minds like to focus on the negative aspects. So actually when we're not in a place where actually we can consciously focus on the things that are going well for us and the positive things like the affirmations or journaling or whatever it may be, our minds naturally revert back to the easiest option. And in that place, when you're feeling so down, it is about everything just seems so much more difficult. You know, it's you're kind of catastrophizing everything that you're experiencing, and it just literally pulls you down, as you say. And I think that's why it's so important to recognize it for yourself. You know, what is it in you that causes it? Because it can really be difficult for you to be able to pull yourself back out of if you don't recognize it and you've allowed it to continue and you know, get further on. But it does, it makes you feel like, you know, that nothing is worthwhile, everything is pointless, everyone's, you know, only out for themselves, you're just distrusting people. So it not only makes you feel rubbish, but you also end up, you know, impacting on your relationships. You end up pushing people away because you start to question whether or not they've got, you know, anyone else's interests at heart. You know, they're just out for themselves. And we tend to withdraw. And then that's the worst thing that we can do, because then we push everyone else away because we feel so caught up in our own emotions. But what that does is it means that we don't have someone to polarize what we're feeling, so therefore we just continue to focus on the negative and the things that are going wrong, and it can be really, really dangerous for us to then, you know, make progress in terms of being able to shift that, to come out of it. And it can be really, really difficult. It really is. And I, you know, I've experienced it, as you say, you've experienced it, and it's really horrible when you're there. You feel like, well, what was the point in everything? I can't do anything right. I'm useless. Yeah. Everything in my life is pointless.
It's so funny to talk about this now, because it was only 2, 3, possibly 4 weeks ago that I was so burnt out. And now I can reflect back on it. I'm like, you were in a really bad place those couple of weeks ago. Rightly or wrongly. Probably wrongly, I put quite a lot of my self-worth on my work. I am very career focused, I am very goal orientated, and I feel like I am a very high achiever. And I know a lot of students listening to this right now who follow Stylish Study also can relate to that, who always want to do the best. And because I couldn't sit at my laptop and do my work, I was then like, oh my god, I'm not doing work, I'm gonna fall behind on this, and this isn't gonna happen, and this isn't gonna happen. And that's when that quote really was just like, okay Ella, like, this has got to a bad burnout point. If you carry on trying to do that, you are gonna be like signed off for like weeks, and you are not gonna get any better. So as difficult as it was, I had to take, I think it was around 3 or 4 days where I really didn't do any work. I think I updated my story to kind of keep that appearance that I was fine, which I think is quite negative in a way, but when you're the one doing all the work, you kind of have to keep up that appearance. And I feel like for students, like that form for them when I was a student would just be getting the bare minimum of the homework done that I needed and not doing any extra revision. So that on the surface, it looked like everything was fine and it looked like I was keeping up, but I had to just take an absolute step back from everything. And that was, it just kind of got me into this big spiral. And now that I'm out of it, I'm really looking forward to talking about how to prevent it, because I definitely highlighted that as like, okay, like, yeah, you need to start working on that.
Definitely. And I think that's, you know, that's the key for me, the fact of, you know, being able to recognize it in yourself. Because often what happens is when we feel so and when we put so much pressure on ourselves to perform to a certain standard, which, you know, is our own doing, because, you know, that standard has not been applied by anyone other than ourselves, we tend to try and just keep pushing on because we feel like that's the only option that we have. Because if we don't do that, well, then we've failed. But actually, what what we've done is we've failed if we don't listen to ourselves and we don't take the time out, because actually the impact of completely burning out is a much longer process of building yourself back up again than just, you know, a couple of days. And yeah, absolutely, you know, we'll talk about kind of how you can prevent it, because a lot of it is really about making sure that you are scheduling time for rest and that you are scheduling time for yourself. And that can be the hardest thing, because we put ourselves last, we put our needs at the back of the pile. And what that does is it means that actually we're saying to ourselves that we're not important. And so therefore, when we feel these things, we dismiss them because we're not important and everything else becomes more important than us ourselves. But it's like when you put diesel in your car, that's not going to keep you driving for the next month, driving around the UK. There'll come a point when you need to refuel it. And if you want to continue, then you're going to have to put fuel into it. And that's no different for our minds and also, you know, our bodies. We actually need to take that positive action to actually make sure that we are giving ourselves time and make sure that we are scheduling out that space for us. And that could include, you know, it might just be making sure that we're having a lunch break, or making sure that, you know, we're spending time with those people that bring us enjoyment, because that really boosts our energy. But also, you know, making sure that we're not putting too much pressure on ourselves. You know, it's okay to say no, and making sure that we are saying no is one of the, you know, the focuses in terms of that self-care. So we talk about like self-care and self-love, and people automatically think things like, you know, having a nice bubble bath and, you know, going for a walk. Yeah. And they're all really great things to do as well, because, you know, I'm an introvert. I get my energy from, you know, internally. I'm not a energy, you know, out with a big group of people. And so for me, the best thing is to actually just sit in some quiet, to just spend some time in the bath or to go for a walk. But you need to identify what it is for you, what that fills you back up again. But self-love and self-care is also about learning to say no. You know, don't take on everyone else's worries, problems, struggles, but also asking for help. It's okay to ask for help. And actually, it's a really good sign that you know yourself more deeply, because you can recognize that there's an opportunity there for you to ask someone for some support, ask someone to, you know, whatever it may be, to do something for you, or just by saying no, you know, no, I'm sorry, I don't have the time to do that, or just no excuses, no, I don't want to.
Yeah, definitely. And I also think recently, actually, myself and my mum have been going out for like walks in the morning, because we just want to get a bit healthier, you know, getting that exercise is important. But it's been a real kind of like mindset shift, because both of us were like, oh my goodness, but that means that I have to start work 30 minutes later. And it's such, I feel like lockdown has really made this very toxic burnout environment, to the point that we're like, every second should be working, we shouldn't be going out, we shouldn't be having a life, because that's what we've known throughout lockdown. And now introducing these like social aspects back in, and like these being able to go outside and not work all the time, has definitely, I think, impacted on my burnout. But I was talking to my mum and I was like, look, if we don't have our health, and by that I don't just mean physical, I mean mental as well, we cannot work. There is no way that you are going to be able to work. So I feel like if you are a very high functioning, very highly motivated, high work ethic person, like myself and my mum are, that we're thinking, oh God, that takes half an hour of our work day, I think it's sometimes important to step back and think, okay, well, if we don't address these problems, there is no work. There is no work without ourselves being healthy first. And if you are someone that's like, I do need to start implementing these ways to stop the burnout, but I also feel like I don't have time, I feel like that's a really good way of kind of phrasing it and viewing it through your mind, that yeah, you won't be able to work unless you have those things and that you are healthy. So with that, I kind of just wanted to talk about how can we prevent it. So we talked a little bit about the self-care, but I am also keen to talk about the deeper elements of self-care, because I know that often on social media it's portrayed as stick a face mask on and you'll be fine, but that kind of, that's shallow, in it, just to put it bluntly. It's skin deep, quite literally, and we need to kind of think about the more deeper, like, mental side of that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you're right. You know, there is a place for, you know, the kind of the face mask and whatever else, but actually it's really about, you know, that element of also, you know, kind of self-forgiveness. We're our own worst enemies, because we are the pressure that we feel to do the things that we do or not do the things that we do are actually only caused by ourselves. So we create everything that we tell ourselves we have to do. And actually it's about really going, okay, well, what if I didn't do that? What would be the worst that would happen? And if I did do that, what would happen? And it's really about kind of taking that step back to look at, you know, what is the worst that's going to happen? Because the world is not going to fall over. You know, yes, you may not get where you wanted to get on that day, but that's okay. Because actually, if you push yourself through, what's the alternative? As you say, the alternative is that you end up being so burnt out that you then can't do anything, and it's counter productive. So it is really about saying to ourselves, you know, I forgive myself. You know, if I'm not going to do the things I've set myself to do, I forgive myself, and that's okay. And you're giving your subconscious mind the okay to kind of release that feeling of resentment or guilt or panic or whatever it may be. And again, you know, we talked earlier about becoming more aware of our feelings and our thoughts. And for me, that's, you know, the key thing in terms of being able to, you know, prevent burnout from a mental and a mind and emotional point of view. Because what we think is what actually makes us feel the way that we do. So if we can become more aware of the thinking, we're able to then stop it from escalating and getting out of control. Our thinking and our thoughts are also, so the internal auditory, the nerves for the internal auditory are wrapped around what's called the amygdala. And so the amygdala is that part of your brain that tells you whether there's something to fight for or something to run away from. And so it's important to be aware of the thinking that you're you know, going through, because that's what then causes that feeling of fear or the feeling of panic, because that's then kicked off the amygdala. You know, the amygdala doesn't just work when we're, you know, faced with a real sense of danger, because it's not evolved. You know, it was there to keep us safe when we were, you know, living in tribes and there was dangers like saber-toothed tigers, and obviously we don't have that anymore, but the amygdala doesn't know that. It doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's just in our imagination. And so often what happens is we end up thinking that things are much more difficult or challenging, or that we've let ourselves down. And actually, if we're able to start recognizing that that's the thought process that's going on, we can start to, you know, use techniques like, you know, just reframing that question, like, well, what is the worst that's going to happen? If I don't do that now, you know, when can I do it? And just really accepting the fact that it's okay. You know, the world won't end.
But you
could get really ill.
Yeah.
And it is about a choice and accepting that you've got a choice to make. Often we think we don't have a choice, but we absolutely do have a choice. It's about what's more important. Is it more important that you keep going and you end up getting ill? Or is it important that you just take a step back and you look after your mind health and you spend some time just re-energizing, you know, refocusing in whatever way and whatever means is right for you to be able to do that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think at Style Study, we like to talk a lot about prioritization And I feel like if you can prioritize your tasks in a way that is, you only have 3 tasks a day that are really important that you must get done, that is a way to kind of take off that mental strain of, oh my goodness, I've got so much to do. Okay, need to do this, then this, then this, and this. If we can get those things down that we know is really important, we like to use a must do, should do, could do list. So we do the things that we must do, then the things that we should do, and then that we could do, to really kind of try and avoid burnout through that. And on our, we have this kind of popped on a little planner that Stylish Study creates, and on there we also have a mental health check-in, which I think kind of so that we can do that every day, because I like to do that in the mornings. I just go, even if I don't write it down, like, okay, Ella, how are you feeling today? Do we need to do loads of tasks? Do we feel like we could do that? Or do we feel like, okay, I might be starting to get a bit burnt out, should we just kind of maybe try and get 2 things done today? And that was what was really important for us, to pop it on that planner so that people were aware of how they felt, and also not overwhelming themselves. For me personally, it's been a great way to stop the burnout kind of creeping up and catching me out through those ways. So if we fall into a burnout, I know we kind of briefly talked about this earlier, what are kind of 1 or 2 practical steps that, if we're listening to this now and we feel burnt out, that we can start to implement?
Yeah, so it's really important, if you're in that burnout phase and you recognize that, it's really important to just stop. And like you did, take that time out, take the time out to re-energize, to recuperate. You know, you can't fill someone else's cup from an empty cup yourself. So it's really important just to step back and acknowledge that it's okay to step back, because the alternative, if you don't step back, is much worse than the reality of now taking that step back. And also really it's about, you know, reflecting on what was happening in the lead up to this. You know, were you putting too much pressure on yourself? Were you maybe not saying no and taking on too much? Were you maybe, you know, trying to burn the candle at both ends? You know, were you not eating the right foods? Were you maybe drinking too much alcohol, or not sleeping enough, or exercising enough? And then one of the other things as well is really important to look at, you know, how are you talking to yourself as well? You know, what was the internal thoughts? You know, were we berating ourselves for not being good enough? And actually it's then about that element of acknowledging that we are not superhuman. You know, we are not a machine. We can't function like a machine. None of us can. And actually, I saw a quote today, and I thought it was really good, and it kind of, you know, highlights that just because you're seeing the person, you know, your friend or whoever, able to cope, you think that they're able to cope because outwardly it seems like they are, and therefore you then put pressure on yourself. You know, we're all doing this at different rates. And the quote was about popcorn, and it was, you know, popcorn goes into the pan and each kernel is in the same oil, it's on the same heat, it's in there for the same amount of time, yet each kernel pops at a different rate. The popcorn doesn't all pop at the same time. And, you know, that's the same for us. It's really dangerous to compare what we're doing and how we're coping to those people who are external to us, because actually they don't matter.
No, it's really, really interesting that you mentioned that. And someone that I actually look up to and quite idolise, I don't know whether you've heard of her, she's called Grace Beverly. She started her business when she was at university. She was working at Oxford, getting a degree at Oxford. She used to vlog, and I used to watch her vlogs religiously. And I used to be like, she is doing all this stuff. Why can I just not do my GCSEs or A-levels? And it is so interesting because recently she just came out with her book called Working Hard, Hardly Working. And I've been reading that and I was like, okay, like, you work hard, but in a way it's not as hard as I thought. It's not that constant all the time. And she talks a lot about self-care, and she talks a lot about knowing her limits, and she's basically optimized her working, which I think is perfect for everyone, because if you can optimize it and you know your limits, then you're going to get the most amount done but be able to look after yourself at the same time. And it's definitely a journey to get there, But it is so interesting how you just brought that up, because for myself, I think I used to get myself burnt out because I was comparing myself to Grace and thinking, oh my goodness, she's doing all this. It's amazing. I need to be like that. And from reading her book, the way that she now talks about self-care and like taking days off and that she does not work 24/7 has been so interesting to realize that I was comparing myself to something that wasn't even real.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think, you know, in the age that we live in now, with social media so much more prevalent, you know, I mean, you talked earlier about how when you were feeling really burnt out, that you still kind of showed up for social media, if you like, you know, and to everyone else, you know, that looks like, well, you can cope with anything, you're superhuman. And the reality is that isn't the reality. And so it really helps to remember that and to stop comparing ourselves to those people that we see, who, you know, it's a mirror. We don't know the full story.
I think social media has really impacted this whole burnout kind of culture of everyone just working until they cannot physically do it anymore. And in a way, I feel sort of that I kind of added to that through showing up. But at the same time, I also shared that quote and I told people that I was burnt out. So it was kind of like sort of prefacing that this is like, I am doing this, but I am also burnt out, and kind of letting people know that it's also normal. But I obviously like succumb to these social pressures of trying to work through my burnout and feeling like, oh my goodness, I'm burnt out, this is such a negative thing, like pull yourself together, Ella, like carry on doing your work. And it's just so interesting now to reflect back on my reaction to it, and also how I have seen these people through the lens of, oh my goodness, you work 24/7, and now it's like finding out they don't. And I think that this is such an interesting discovery to realize that what you see is not what is happening, and that if you are burnt out and you feel like social media is impacting that, that there is a lot more going on behind the scenes. And just from me saying this right now, I hope that that is to anyone that kind of maybe sees me as someone that's super productive all the time. Like, I have my days where I have to literally do nothing because I can't cope. So yeah, I think that was quite an interesting thing that we've uncovered there.
Yeah, definitely.
So we have a couple of questions from our Stylish Study audience that I'd love to ask you about. So the first one is from Millie, of how to avoid the guilt from not working until you reach burnout.
Yeah, and this is a difficult one, and it kind of, well, let me read first here. So I got the definition of what guilt is. So guilt is the fact of having committed a specified or implied offence or crime. So it basically implies we've done something wrong.
Yeah.
And so I would implore anyone to start to look at, okay, well, it's all centered around, again, you know, what we've already talked about, in that sense of that expectation that we're setting for ourselves. So
that
actually,
hustle culture.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we set such high expectations on ourselves and what we can achieve. And it's about really taking a step back and going, is that achievable? You know, guilt manifests a feeling within us of not being good enough, of panic, of fear, of worry. But it is all centered around that expectation that we've set ourselves, because, you know, we haven't done anything wrong. You know, there isn't anything wrong by actually taking time out for ourselves. In fact, to be able to recognize that you need to do it, you know, that's a much bigger and stronger, you know, gratification to be able to recognize that you need to do it and actually do it, than feeling the guilt that surrounds it. So, you know, really, guilt is, it's a horrible one, because it's something that we're doing to ourselves. So really, it's about going, okay, you know, what are the expectations that I'm setting for myself? Are they reasonable? What would I say to somebody else who told me about the expectation? So if you can imagine, you know, you've gone through and you've worked out, you know, that you're putting these unreasonable expectations on yourself to work all of these hours, to, you know, maybe attend these social events, or to also work a job, and, you know, when are you going to sleep? So if your friend was to show you that or to tell you that, what would you say to them? Yeah. What would the advice be that you would give them? Because when we can look at it from a different angle, we then start to notice the bits where we go, oh my God, how are you going to, how do you do that? You can't do that. That's ridiculous. You know, you need to take time out. And so we kind of take our own advice, but when it's us and when we're in it, it's really difficult for us to do that. So yeah, I would really say, you know, it's about us being able to make a choice. We have got a choice. We can either choose to continue to set really high expectations for ourselves, or we can actually acknowledge that we've got the choice, look at what it is that we are setting and make the change, and take positive action steps to work around that.
Definitely. And I think that sometimes it can be this sort of internal pressure, but for students there are so many, because you're still young, you still are probably living with your parents, and you might be doing, you kind of have the guidance of teachers, and there are a lot of people that are putting their expectations onto you that don't understand you and that don't understand how you're feeling. And I think that sometimes this, it's not always self-inflicted burnout, it's by other people that are putting that pressure on you. I myself was, it was a mixture of both when I was doing my A-levels, but there was a real moment of like, okay, you're not being very helpful right now, I need to just listen to my needs. I was at sick form. I was going into sick forms 5 days a week from 8:30 till 3 PM, doing my revision, doing all the other things that I was doing. And then I was also working a part-time job on a Saturday and a Sunday. And it came to the point where I was having no days off. I was on constantly having to work and I had no breaks. And I remember going to quit my job, and because I was so burnt out, and I was so persuaded by the people there to carry on, because, oh, you can just revise like when in the staff room, or you can just, well, you can just deal with it, or having a part-time job can really like help you not focus on school. And I was like, you are gonna make me explode, and I am so glad that I listened to myself and my family and my personal needs, because I could have been so easily influenced then. I was 17, so I'm not much older now, but I know that my mindset back then was so different, and I've done a lot of self-development and I'm a lot more confident in myself now. But that was such, I felt so guilty for leaving that. And I felt like, oh my goodness, I'm making a horrible mistake. I should just carry on. I should be able to do this because people were telling me that I should. And now that I look back on it, I think, wow, like it wasn't healthy and it wasn't good. And I'm so glad I got out of that. But there will be times that maybe people feel guilty for you not working until you're literally crying. But you have to prioritize yourself and your needs. And if you feel like, I really need a day off, you have to give yourself that and you have to allow yourself that. And it is going to be a test of your strength to kind of allow yourself to do that, and kind of if people are opposing you, to kind of go up against that. But you need to do what's best for you, really.
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think, you know, just one of the things that you can kind of ask yourself is, you know, where is this person who's kind of putting this pressure on me, where are they going to be in my life in 1 year's time, in 2 years' time, in 20 years' time? You know, they're probably, you probably would never ever talk to them again, or, you know, so
no, I
for them. Exactly. So for them, for you to kind of take on that pressure of someone who won't ever be in your life again, it kind of puts it into a little bit of perspective, because you've got to listen to you. You are the one that's in control and in charge, and you're the one that's going to be living your life and living your future, and you've got to do what's right for you.
Definitely. And I think I just, looking back now, I'm kind of like, that was so toxic. At the time I didn't realize it, and I genuinely thought like I should be doing all of this. And yeah, I'm so glad that I've now reflected on that and realised that that wasn't good. So the last question that I have for you today is from Pops, and they asked how to manage a high workload and preventing burnout, because students have a lot to do.
Yeah, definitely. So I would say it's all in the kind of planning, and also making sure that you're incorporating short, regular bursts of time away, time out, in whatever way that works for you. You know, if it is about just making sure that you're, you know, putting your phone down for 10 minutes during the day, you've got to do what works for you in terms of rebuilding your energy up. And I really liked what you said earlier in terms of, you know, that check-in every day, because actually what we need to do is we need to create a habit for ourselves. Because once we create a habit to start regularly checking in and making sure that, you know, how am I feeling today? What are the things I, you know, really do need to achieve? What are the things that, you know, I can do, and what are the things that, you know, I really don't need to do? Because if we're creating a regular pattern and we create a habit, it just becomes something that's then subconscious, and we don't even need to think about it. It just becomes a natural thing for us to do. And then that's where the key comes in terms of making sure that we can kind of manage the workload, because actually we're regularly checking in with how we're feeling. We're noticing the thoughts that we're having, and we're able to then direct ourselves in a way that's necessary so that we don't become burnt out, but also so that we can manage those high levels of workload. So yeah, definitely short regular bursts. Make sure that you're scheduling in time to eat well, to get some fresh air and get some exercise, and to take some breaks, and also then that regular check-ins with yourself as to, you know, how am I feeling today. It might even just be that, you know, when you turn your computer on, you ask yourself that, and you spend 5 minutes just thinking about it, or 2 minutes, whatever works for you. But yeah, I would definitely just make sure that you're doing it in shorter bursts, and also where you can. You know, I know sometimes it's, and I've done it myself, you know, I run the Healthy Mind Academy. I also have a full-time job. I've got 2 kids. I've got 3 dogs, you know, everything's like, I've got so many responsibilities that sometimes, you know, I work on the weekends in the Healthy Mind Academy, and can it all be too easy just to sit there all day at the computer without realizing that, oh my God, I've not even taken a break yet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what is it that you can do to make sure that you're going to take that break? So making sure you set your alarm for 2 hours in, or whatever it may be, so that you're getting up, you're walking around, maybe you take 5 minutes out and, you know, walk down the road or watch a bit of telly, whatever it is that helps you to kind of take your focus away from what you're doing, so you can give your mind a rest and you can move your body, because the more we move our body, the more energy we're also creating. So yeah, it's just making sure that we're doing short regular bursts, and that we're identifying the tools that we can use that can help us to make sure that we're doing those things.
Definitely. I think for me as well, it's also scheduling that time and setting my boundaries. So for me, I know that I won't work unless there's something absolutely that I have to get done that's really pressing. I won't work past 6:30, and then I will turn my laptop off and I will go away and I will just spend the evening doing whatever I like, or I will make sure that I set time away for maybe going out for lunch with my mum just for an hour, maybe on a Monday, for example. Or I will make sure that I book in time with my friends and have that as an appointment. And it sounds so funny, like saying an appointment, but when you kind of make it an official, or like an official time, and you make it an official thing that you have to do, and like, even if you say that I'm going to make an appointment with myself to have a bath later on, making it official, I feel like for people that are high achieving and that do constantly like to work, if you can frame it in like a work mindset, it makes sure that you are giving it that importance and that you are actually giving yourself the time to take that time out and look after yourself.
Absolutely. And it's also about, you know, keeping yourself accountable when you're saying it out loud, or you're writing it down, or you're putting the appointment in your diary. You know, you're keeping yourself accountable to actually be able to do that. So yeah, it's really, really important. And I think one of the other things as well that I just want to kind of highlight really is just about also, you know, making sure that the environment that you're working in, you can kind of shut it all down and kind of hide it away. Because especially now where, you know, we've been in lockdown a lot of the times, we tend to sleep, eat, work all within the confines of, you know, a small space. So it's really important as well to look at those types of things, to be able to turn them off and shut them down and kind of hide them away, so that you don't feel like you're still in that work mindset. You know, if you can close your eyes to it and you cover it up or whatever it may be, that will also help you as well in terms of, you know, avoiding the burnout, but also being able to manage yourself more effectively.
Definitely. It was an absolute pleasure to talk to you today, Stacey, and I really, really loved everything that you gave. All your insights was absolutely amazing. It was so nice to talk to someone who knows what they're talking about, because I can give my personal experiences, but it's so nice to have someone that knows exactly what they're talking about. So if our students wanted to come and find you and check you out, where can they find you?
Well, thank you for having me. It's been great chatting to you. So yeah, if you want to find out more about me, you can find me on Instagram. I'm the Healthy Mind Academy, or you can find me Stacey_the HMA. I'm also on Facebook, the Healthy Mind Academy, and you can find my website and membership by going to www.thehealthymindacademy.com/about.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. Let us know what you think by leaving us a review. And for more fun, make sure you follow us on our socials at stylishstudy_ and head to stylishstudy.com/free-ebook. That's stylishstudy.com/free-ebook for your free guide to grade boosting success. Catch you next week.